For the rest of us, we turn with me to Psalm number 42. Psalm number 42. I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving today. You know, I'm a pastor and I have to check myself regularly whether what's coming out of my mouth is more thanksgiving than complaining. So it's a very good thing that we have Thanksgiving Day and we can have reminders of the fact that we always have things to be thankful for. No matter how many horrible things, things we don't like, things that disgust us, no matter how many of those things are happening, we always have many things we can be thankful for. And that's what we want to explore today. 42nd Psalm, I'm going to read it in its entirety. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that right now, at this time, that you just fill this place with your presence and take your residence in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God, that we would be open to receive your word today. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring this word forth today. I pray, Lord, that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the ordained words by you. As I speak this message, Lord God, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving because this week, we celebrate that holiday. The holiday was established by our forefathers as a day set apart to thank God for his bounty. I'm really thankful that they did that, but since I met Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, it's always Thanksgiving. My life has been different from the moment I invited Jesus into my life. How about you? My attitude about things are different. Now, don't get me wrong. I've stood in this pulpit many times and admitted my biggest struggle is copping an attitude gap. I'm not going to run out and do the stupid things I used to do BC of all those things I've talked to you about. I've been very open about the sin in my life at that point. But I'm not going to run out and do those things anymore. I'm just not. The devil don't even try to get me to do those things anymore. But boy, oh boy, I can cop an attitude now and then. Do you guys struggle with that, or am I hanging out there all alone? It's rough, isn't it? Especially when stuff's not going our way. You know? And especially if you're like me and you have a type A personality, that makes it a bigger struggle, yeah. Because, see, if you have a type A personality, there's no gray areas. Black and white. Somebody give me a witness. Could I get it? Two amens.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, and biblically, what is Thanksgiving? Well, let me share with you what the Holman Bible Dictionary has to say Thanksgiving is, biblically. First, it's gratitude directed towards God, generally in response to God's concrete acts in history. Thanksgiving was central to Old Testament worship. Sacrifice and offerings were to be made not grudgingly, but with thanksgiving. The psalmist valued a song of thanksgiving more than sacrifice. David appointed Levites to commemorate the Lord God of Israel and to give him thanks and praise. Isn't that right? Pilgrimage to the temple and temple worship were characterized by thanksgiving as well. Thankfulness was expressed for personal and national deliverance, for God's faithfulness to the covenant, and for forgiveness. All creation joins in offering thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a natural element of Christian worship and in the ministry. For Christ's deliverance of the believers from sin, for God's indescribable gift of grace in Christ. Think about all these things that's in this list out of the Holman Bible Dictionary. Just think about all these things we have to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is a natural element of the Christian worship. It's characterized in all of Christian life. Epistolary thanksgiving is an element in the opening of a typical Greek letter. All of the Pauline letters, with the exception of Galatians, begins with thanksgiving. We don't think about these things, I don't think, often enough. So, all of this list of things, I'll tell you something I am so thankful for is to be standing here today, saved, born again, with the Spirit of the living God. Because before I accepted Jesus, my life was a mess. It was absolutely a mess. It's not perfect now. Is yours?
No.
It's not perfect, is it?
No.
You know why? Because we're still in the process. And we will be in the process until either Christ returns or our life is required of us before he returns. We are in the process. That's what sanctification is, right?
That's right.
Sanctification, it means we're in that process. And also, we are all in different levels of that process. Some people grow faster, some people grow slower, some started at different dates than others. So we're all at different levels in that process. That's why God has called us to be patient with one another. Because we're all in different levels of that process. So it requires that we're patient with one another. Well, bless God, I knew that years ago. Well, good. This person just got a revelation and they're excited about it. So be excited with them, amen?
Yeah.
And be thankful that we are the body of Christ and that we are growing. We're growing together. Hopefully, gradually becoming more like Christ in our attitudes. So, what do we give thanks for? Let me share some scriptures with you to show you what we can be thankful for. First one is Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. When you have eaten and are satisfied. Now, you all know the holidays are really special. We normally overeat at the holidays because we are so blessed. Isn't that true? I mean, most people make sure they have a supply of antacids or something. You know, because you just know, you know, that oh my gosh, it's going to be so good, and I'm probably going to overeat, and I'm going to need an antacid. So we throw them in our pocket and take them with us, you know, anticipating, okay, I'm going to do this to myself today. You all laughing because you know it's true. So we have that to be thankful for. I would say there's a pretty good chance that everyone in this building today has that to be thankful for, because you have enough food to eat. And most of us, we have an abundance that's way more than our need. So we definitely have that to be thankful for. Next one is in Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Think about that for a minute. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are qualified to share in the inheritance.
Praise God.
Now we're talking about the inheritance from a father that has the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now that really means a lot to me, because I am a beef eater.
Amen.
I got an amen. I am a beef eater, I'll tell you what. Not that I don't enjoy all meats except goat. I got over that after a few trips to Africa to minister. That goat in a bucket is something you're never going to forget. Can I get a witness from Brad and Ardilla? You got to understand, I was trying to choke it down and not doing very good with it. He was just pounding it down. I leaned over and whispered, you like that stuff? He said, no, I'm just eating it so fast I can't taste it. You remember that, Arm? The sad thing is, they were giving us the best that they had. And when we were done eating, there was a young woman that came and took our scraps to feed her family. The stuff we had picked through, she took to feed her family. And she was thankful for that. I learned a little bit about Thanksgiving, being involved in missions in Costa Rica and Africa. You see, in Costa Rica, I actually had a woman come up to me that had a little girl with her. And she was talking, and I didn't understand the language, so I had to try to find an interpreter for me, or translator. And I finally found one of the guys that translated that. I said, come here, help me out here. She's trying very hard to tell me something, and I just can't understand. And his face turned red, and his eyes welled up with tears. And he said, she's trying to give you her little girl to take back to the U.S. with her. Because she can't hardly provide for her here. There are no words for that. There's no words for that. Those kinds of things have made me a more thankful person, seeing the reality of what it can be like elsewhere in another nation. So while I'm not happy with a lot of things that are happening in our nation right now, and I'm speaking out and doing everything I can do with the platform God has given me about it, I am still very thankful that I live in this nation. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Oh boy. After walking in darkness the first 25 years of my life because I didn't know Jesus, that is one of the most major things, the enlightenment that came into my life. It began the moment I got born again. Guys, it was within hours I heard the Lord's voice speak to me after I got born again. The next morning, God started directing my steps. Literally, that first day of being born again, He directed my steps. He led me to a people that I had hurt to begin to apologize to people. Tell them how sorry I was. That was the first missions He sent me on. I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
He taught me how to say I'm sorry. You know, you can see a lot of healing in relationships when we're willing to humble ourselves and say, I'm sorry. That opens the door to a lot of healing in relationships. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Isn't God good? He is good all the time. That's right. And all the time God is good. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now that's a mouthful. That is a whole lot to be thankful for. You know, if God, I said this last week, I believe, if God never, ever does another thing for us beyond what He's done already, we got a whole lot to be thankful for and ought to be praising Him every day of our lives. Because He made a way where there was no way. His love endures forever. We sung that. We see it throughout Scripture. We see it in these verses. The Lord is good, and His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. No matter what, our God is always faithful. Our problem is that we're not. And that's why we needed Jesus. We don't have the capacity as humans to always be faithful, to walk sinless. So God had to provide a way, and His name is Jesus. And in another month, we'll be celebrating that birth of our Savior. First Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. We get through all these scriptures, we'll get back to our text. I haven't forgotten. This passage in 1 Thessalonians says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in some circumstances. Oh, did I get that wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me look at that again. I don't want to be heretical. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's your answer. I can't tell you how many people in all the years I've been pastoring that have come to me and have earnestly asked, so I'm not making fun of it at all. Pastor, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. Can I read this again?
Yeah.
Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's the answer. If we can do all of that, that's God's will for our lives. And if we do all of that, if we practice that with all our heart, He'll direct us. He'll direct our feet in the things that He wants us involved in. I'm telling you from experience. God's been directing my life ever since I gave my life to Him. And it does boil down to being thankful. And I already told you, I fail sometimes. Sometimes I start looking at too many things that aren't good. And when I don't look to God enough, I've preached this a lot, then I can get foul. You know what I'm talking about? You ever get a foul mood? We can end up with foul moods. God don't want us walking around foul. He wants us joyful always. My daughter's got a new job, and she got the job because she's always smiling. Isn't that true? Isn't that the main reason you got it? Because she's always smiling. You know, she used to have a keychain. Can I tell them this? It said, I smile always because I have no idea what's going on. I thought that shoe fit. It is a good thing to have a smile on your face. Isn't it a joy when you're shopping somewhere and the person that is checking you through, if you have anybody checking you through anymore, right? How many of you hate self-checkout? I'm thinking about starting a petition against them. But how cool is it when you're being helped in a store by somebody that is genuinely joyful and has a smile on their face? It's awesome. And we need to be that kind of people when we, I mean, as much as we can. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians 3, verse 15. I got to keep moving, that clock does. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And then here's the short little sentence after that. And be thankful. It's kind of like, oh yeah, and be thankful. It's in your Bible, isn't it? You see it?
Yeah.
Kind of like an afterthought. Oh yeah, and be thankful. So, let's be thankful, guys. So, how do we get that kind of thankfulness in our hearts? We've looked at what we have to be thankful for, and that's a good thing. And there are other things. I mean, this was not an exhaustive study of everything we have to be thankful for, but these are some very valid things, right? So how do we get that kind of thankfulness in our hearts, though? Well, the first thing we can look at is the first verse of our text in Psalm 42, hungering and thirsting after God. To purpose in our hearts every single day when we open our eyes, before our feet even hit the floor, before we even roll out of that bed, Lord, I want more and more of you today than I had yesterday. I need more of you today to get me through this day than I had yesterday. Hungering and thirsting for Him. is a really good place to start with getting our hearts right. And verse 2 goes on to say, thirsting for a living God. I like that the psalmist put that in there. Hey, he's saying, hey, wait a minute now, just get this right now. I'm thirsting for a living God. He's alive. I'm not thirsting for a dead idol. Because a dead idol can't do anything for me. Something made of wood or stone or whatever the idols are in our lives. There can be a lot of them. Our children can be idols. Do you realize that? Our parents can be idols. Although I don't see that very often. I just don't see teenagers that like their parents. It's a very rare thing. Says, when can I go and meet with my God? Psalmist is saying, I am excited to go and meet with my God. Were you excited to come to church this morning? I was.
Yes.
Were you? I love to come to church. I love to be with other believers. I love to experience the presence of God. I love being in the presence. Not that I'm not in the presence of God in my own home or even driving down the road, man. I mean, he blesses me with his presence many times. But there is a dynamic that takes place when believers gather together and pray and worship in him and open up the Word of God that is not going to happen in our own prayer closet or in our own home. Can I get a witness? He says, weeping day and night with sorrow, he says in verse 3. Weeping day and night with sorrow. Now that sounds like a person that's been going through something. Have you ever been there? I personally have. There have been times in my life that I was so filled with sorrow that I thought I was going to cry my eyeballs out of my head. Do you know what I'm talking about? You get fat face. You know how your face swells up? Even your lips feel like they're just big. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm talking a big man crying. Okay? One of those times was when we lost a full-term baby. See, my wife was still at the hospital after giving birth, and I went home to an empty house, and we were excited to be bringing a baby home, and the baby wasn't going to come home. And I don't even know that I ever told you this, Tom, that it was a long night. Because the excitement that was there was dashed. And some of you here I know have been through it. Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5 says, sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. See, by morning it was still tough, but I was beginning already to get stronger in the Lord. Those of you that have been through hard things that have brought you to that place, you know what I'm talking about. Men ask, where is your God? You know, when you put yourself out there, people that don't know Christ and tend to want to belittle you because they make fun of the Christian faith, And believe that it's just a crutch because there's something wrong with you. Can I be honest with you? I was one of those people that thought that before I got born again. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I was one of them. I wish I wasn't, but I was. Used to think it was cool to go somebody and buy somebody that I knew was a Christian and rolled the window down in my car and said, did you hear a word of the Lord today? Well, the truth is, the reason I was doing those things is because I hadn't. I hadn't gotten a word from the Lord because I didn't know Him. And the idea of somebody getting a word from the Lord just kind of, I can't even explain it, it just made me feel strange. You go through hard things and people say, where's that God of love now? Have you ever been in a situation where somebody said that to you? Be honest. Yeah, where's your God now, Mr. Christian? I've had people say all kinds of things to me in the last 40 years. All kinds of things, because I put myself out there. I mean, I'll witness to anybody that'll listen. And that draws fire, guys. If you put yourself out there, you're going to draw fire. Now, I didn't tell you that to discourage you. I'm telling you that to encourage you. If you're drawing fire, you're doing something right. See, as believers, we're supposed to be strange people in this world. I think we're getting a little more stranger all the time, especially lately. Isn't it true? Isn't it right, guys? Because the world just don't understand it, just like I didn't before I got born again. I didn't understand it. The world does not understand it. So it doesn't do any good for us to get offended at somebody that speaks what they're thinking. What it should compel us to do, can I preach to myself when you come along? What I should do is pray for them. That's what I should do. Our psalmist says in verse 4, I remember leading the multitude to the house of God. Guys, if we are truly thankful for our salvation, for all the things that we've looked at today and more, if we are truly thankful, the bottom line is, it will come out of us, and we will be a magnet to people that are searching. We'll become a magnet, because we'll have that radiance that comes through walking with Christ. I'm telling you, and when you get that radiance, even the people that have made fun of you, but the reason they're making fun is they're watching. It makes them nervous. That's what it did to me. It made me nervous because I didn't understand it. Why are they like that? They think they're better than me? You know how the devil works. I bet they think they're better than me. When's the last time you witnessed to someone and asked them to come to church with you? See, because our psalmist that was excited said he remembers leading the multitude to the house of God. What if everybody here today invited one person and brought them to church next week? We'd be setting up more chairs. One week. If everybody here invited one person and brought them to church next week so that they could hear the Word of God, we would double our capacity here today. And I'm pretty sure we'd have set up more chairs. Wouldn't that be awesome? Does anybody here think that that would be impossible? That's not impossible at all for each person to bring one person. And don't go fishing in somebody else's pond. You know what I'm talking about. There's a multitude of people that are saved and have no church. If you got fingers that reach in and maybe snatch somebody out of the fire that's in a cult, get them. That's different. Get them. Drag them kicking and screaming out of the cults. You know the ones I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Kingdom Hall. Huh?
Yeah.
I'll stop there. There are more. There's a lot more. I remember leading the multitude to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving, it says. Leading the throng, leading the multitude to the house of God, saying, come on, come on, we're going to hear the word of God. We're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. You're going to get blessed. You won't believe what it's like to live in the blessed life. Come with me. Leading the procession. Because you're excited. And when people are excited about something, they are like a magnetic force. You want proof? Tell everybody you know about the really good buffet you went to. Just tell them. And then tell them how cheap it is. The combination of good and cheap, especially if you're Dutch. And they're there. That's proof enough, right? They see that you're excited about it and like, oh man, it must be good. Hun, let's go there next week. Well, how about if we do that about church? We say we're excited about church, but are we? Let's be a light in our community. I didn't know I was going to say all this. The Holy Ghost is just leading me. Why are you downcast, O my soul, it says in verse 5. And then he answers himself. He's speaking to himself. Do you speak to yourself sometimes? But you're not answering, all right? I'm just messing with you. Well, our psalmist speaks to himself. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? And then he answers. Put your hope in God. You know, we got to speak to ourselves sometimes.
Yes.
Come on, let's get with it. Pick yourself up, right? Strengthen the feeble knees, right?
Yes.
Put your hope in God. And then here's the next one. He says, I will yet praise him. My Savior and my God. You know that? That is really all through Scripture. You can find a number of places where that is at. You can find it in Job. Job started being convinced that God was out to kill him. And out of response to that, Job actually said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Oh, he's sliding. I've had a couple times in my life where I thought God was trying to kill me. If you've ever had a vehicle almost fall on you, when I was underneath a hoist and I heard a sound, and those of you have been around here for a long time, it's an absolutely miracle I'm here today because that thing came down so fast, blew out of line underneath the floor. I heard a sound, and there was sand blowing up out of a crack in the cement where two pieces of concrete met. And the Holy Spirit spoke inside me and said, get out of there! And I turned like this and took a great big step because I got me some long legs. I took a great big step, and the hoist in the vehicle came down and brushed this side of me. I said, oh, Lord, are you trying to kill me? Oh, that's right. You told me to get out of there. No, you're not trying to kill me. You all know that happened a very short time before I walked away from my shop and went into the ministry full time. He had been telling me to close my shop up. And I was like, yeah, okay, you send me a buyer and I'm good. Turnkey operation, I'll sell it. And he kept saying, no, you just walk away from it and trust me. I got 16 years of my life invested here. Anybody else ever wrestle with God about big decisions? That's why the first thing that went through my mind is he's going to kill me. When that happened to me, well, I'll tell you what, it was a short time after that I walked away from my business. I closed it down. And I went into ministry. And I'm really glad I did. I'm really glad I did. God's path for our lives is the best path we can get on. And they resisted for a little while, but he'll get us where he wants us. Well, that's our message. You got something to be thankful for, right? Maybe the reminder today will help us. How about it? So, this Thanksgiving Day, this coming Thursday, please, as you gather with family, maybe with some friends, as we're stuffing our faces, let's remember all the things we have to be thankful for what we're celebrating. Amen? Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you for your word that is just absolute truth, Lord God. And I pray that as your word has been sown in our hearts today, that Lord, you will seal it there and that it will bring transformation in our lives. That we will indeed, from this moment forward, be more thankful. And Lord, I pray that you bring us back safely next weekend. That Lord, as we celebrate, you keep every man, woman, and child safe. As we gather as families and as people travel, keep us all safe. Lord, also keep us healthy in Jesus' name. You are our great physician, and we are thankful for that, Lord Jesus. That your word tells us that it's by your stripes that we are healed, and we proclaim that now today. So, Lord, we praise you. We bless you. We are thankful for you and all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.